Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Brian, thank you very much. Well, the British newspapers present a bleak picture this morning as the collapse in the value of the pound continues to cause significant fallout following Chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng's mini-budget last Friday. Some of the headlines, the Daily Telegraph, spooked lenders ditch new mortgages in pound chaos. The Guardian, sterling crisis deepens as Truss's strategy unravels. The Mirror says out of control. The London Times, bank vows to step in after a day of turmoil. Well, the value of the pound appears to have stalled for now, but only thanks to market expectations that the Bank of England will be forced to intervene. To take a closer look at this, I'm joined first on the line by Justin Urquhart-Stewart from the investment platform Regionally. Justin, thank you very much for joining us. And I said there that the pound has steadied this morning. There's no repeat of yesterday's collapse, but financial analysts say attitudes remain jittery. How are things looking this morning?
Well, as you say, jittery. Yes, it's come back a little bit, but hardly really to anywhere which is going to fill you with a lot of confidence. End up to $1.08, something like that. We got down to 0.03 at one stage yesterday. But it does actually look a lot like sort of previous issues we've had with sterling. I'm afraid the credibility isn't there at the moment. And so there's nervousness in the market with regard to what's going to happen next. Interest rates being almost certainly going up, which, of course, they're doing that to try and conquer inflation. But of course, by doing so, they'll be actually trying to have a dragging effect on the economy. Because the budget was designed exactly the opposite way around. And this is what has been so stupid. And we're very concerned about where we see the lack of knowledge and experience in this team to really understand what's going on. So we've got a Bank of England pulling one way, and a government pulling the other way.
Yeah, I mean, you just called it stupid. I mean, I saw some analysis this morning saying there's just no coherency here, because you have, as you say, the Bank of England going one way and doing one thing, and the government doing precisely the opposite.
You really couldn't make it up. And so add to that, of course, then the other issues relating to the global economy affecting the Republic as well as ourselves. The economy, global economy, is slowing down. And so most countries at the moment will be preparing for that slowdown and managing their way through it, particularly with regard to, obviously, the energy price crisis as well, managing our way through that. And as the budget didn't really give us enough detail, but the big area of concern is in the UK, are smaller companies, which had no cap in terms of a cap of the maximum amount that could be charged in terms of price creation for power. And although there's now a form of cap put in place, there are no details. And of course, it loses the one word that runs an economy. Confidence. Mm-hmm. And whether it's confidence from people buying UK government gilts or just investing in Britain.
And there was an expectation yesterday afternoon that the Bank of England might do something, but they didn't. They said something. They said, we won't hesitate to intervene if we need to. And I see this morning the former Bank of England Deputy Governor Charlie Bean on the BBC saying that the Bank of England should have had an emergency meeting this week. Is he right there, do you think?
Yes, he should have done indeed. Oh, they should have done. And will they still intervene? I wouldn't be at all surprised. The reason they haven't done yet is that's a gun to bring out at a later stage rather than now. Let's use letters and warm words to see if we can calm the market. I'm not too sure that's going to solve the problem. But if it carries on like that, they will have to intervene. And of course, the big problem now for the UK government is the cost of the debt. If I maybe toss some economics bit and look at the 10-year bond, which is a good way of seeing how much the cost of money is going to be, about 4 months ago, that was about 1%. Yesterday, it was about 4%. Now, may not, that's an awful number, but it's more than 100% rise. Yeah. And put that in sterling in terms of the amount it costs to manage the UK government debt. 2 years ago, that was about 50 billion pounds, same for our defence budget. This year, it's probably going to be 100 billion, which is the same as our entire education budget. So this is why people are looking at standards and say, this doesn't make sense.
Well, that's a really good explanation of how this is going to impact the British economy. The real world impact, though, I see is already being felt when it comes to people who might be looking for a new mortgage, because all of those nice deals that they could have availed of, not all of them, but a lot of them have been taken off the table by the lenders.
Yes, they have indeed. And in fact, it may get much worse than that. The reason being, a lot of people on fixed-term mortgages, so they find their mortgage matures. And because the banks and building societies have been tightening their their rules and controls about who they take on, they may not qualify for another mortgage. So they find themselves in a position where they become a forced seller because they had a mortgage, they pay for that, but because it was coming to the end of the term and they don't qualify under new rules to be a suitable person to lend to, they find themselves becoming a forced seller. And we haven't seen that for some, 20 years ago, I seem to remember. Mm-hmm. But it was that would be a really major issue if they can't manage that.
And how is all of this affecting the credibility of the new government?
Well, I'm afraid it's just back to that word confidence again. You look at the people in the government, and I'm sure they're perfectly bright people, but most of them haven't had much experience. Even the Prime Minister, she's had an array of jobs, but not for long. Very quickly going through. That confidence is lacking there.
And one of the measures that the government took, the decision to scrap the 45% tax rate for people on over £150,000, 72% of voters opposed to that move, Justin.
Yeah, so this is, I think, one of the poor messaging of what's going on here. There was they called it a mini budget, but a mini financial statement. It was, God knows what a large one looks like, because there was enough in it. But the messaging was just too confusing. And so what stood out were some highlight items, such as we're going to actually give tax breaks to the very wealthy and not so much to the poor. Mm-hmm. Actually, there was an awful lot of other breaks in there as well. But the message came over as being unfair. And that's where I think, again, this is a government being stupid, not thinking about not so much what it's saying, but how things will be received. And at a time when you've got a financial crisis coming from energy and commodity prices, you need people to actually have confidence to know, yes, it's difficult, but it's going to be better tomorrow or next year when commodity prices may start coming down again. But I'm afraid this has just added to people's fears, not taken it away.
Yeah, and all of this, of course, wrapped up in, and you've touched on this already, it's not just a British issue. This is a global crisis, which is going to compound the problems facing Britain.
Absolutely. So we're all sitting here looking at energy prices and how we manage that and what the alternatives are. Again, the government came out here and saying, well, we could look at fracking. But actually, fracking, A, takes a long time to do. And B, frankly, we don't really have the geology for it. They've got flat shale sands in America capable of doing it, whereas the UK, the geology is nothing like that. You could open up, reopen some gas fields in the North Sea, but it's hardly a tap. You turn around. So there's no instant solution to any of this. What I'm afraid Britain failed to do, it's got a lot of green resources in terms of wind onshore and offshore, but it's very weak on nuclear, although there's still some going in that, and so there was very little backup. And of course there was no gas storage either, because that was stopped because we didn't need it, apparently not.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Justin, thank you very much for that. Justin Urquhart-Stewart there from the investment platform Regionally. And Justin spoke about the fact that this not only is the global situation impacting Britain, but what's happening in Britain is going to have impacts beyond their shores too. And let's talk about how it might affect us now with John McGrain, Director General of the British-Irish Chamber of Commerce. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Claire.
So for Irish companies who export to Britain, this is potentially a very serious situation. Can you explain why?
Yes, it is, Claire. And the situation regarding the value of our exports and indeed the cost of our imports comes on top of, you know, the COVID disruptions in every way, including commercial, the energy cost, and indeed the wider cost of doing business, keeping people in jobs. So as if we didn't have enough problems, you might say. The reality is that when sterling falls in value, it means that the relative trade between the two countries, and bear in mind Britain is Ireland's biggest two-way trading partner, Brexit notwithstanding, we still do more business with the island of Great Britain than we do with any other part of the world. The reality is the value of Irish exports paid for in sterling by British importers falls, and it's on its way to falling more than 6% in the past week and perhaps further. And that's a very serious matter, because the reality is we export most of our food and drink goes to British consumers. Most of our physical exports goes to British consumers. We know all about the farm-to-fork, fantastic trade on food products exported from Ireland. But also, we actually export lots and lots of manufactured products from, you know, people like Abcon in Cavan sending over construction materials, and people like Burnside and Carlow sending engineering products that are world-class into the GB market, who value those products very, very substantially
above
competitors. But they're now becoming more expensive for British
importers. And you can see that if you're facing huge energy increases, if you're manufacturing here in Ireland or producing food, and now your customer in Britain getting close to the point where they may not be able to afford to buy the product from you.
Well, it has exactly that potentially serious effect, there's no doubt. Although, you know, I wouldn't be too alarmist about it either. Business is on both islands and beyond is inherently apolitical, pragmatic, inventive, and fast to respond. So the reality is that Irish exporting firms are very good at reading their customers' circumstances and, you know, redesigning and reformulating products so that they can be actually afforded at new price points. So I wouldn't be too bleak about that. And on the other hand, Irish imports, of course, are going to be 6% cheaper, because if we're paying in sterling, it costs us less to acquire those products.
And
there are a number of
opportunities
for Irish businesses in this circumstance.
And that is a good news for people who are importing from Britain, because they're getting the kickback on the other side. So they'll be
an opportunity for Irish firms to substitute for continental European firms who may decide that they don't want to export in the same volumes and the same nature to customers in Britain. We've seen some of that already, and Irish firms are uniquely placed because of our many other relationship ties, common language, common law, etc., etc. And indeed, we're already seeing some firms take another opportunity here, which is to recognise that the cost of buying a business in Britain in sterling comes down when sterling falls, and a number of Irish firms are already dusting down their Matt's book to see what would it now cost to acquire an interesting business in Britain that would be compatible with their own and serve directly 55 million UK consumers. So it's this is a game of at least two halves, and I wouldn't underestimate Irish inventiveness and innovation and customer focus opportunities are.
We've been talking, John, about the details of the budget today. Some of the measures are for business, but for those who are affected by the sterling collapse, are they seeing some of that wiped out already as we look at what's happening in Britain?
Well, look, business has been hit, and employers, the people who create and sustain jobs in every constituency in the country, they've been hit so many times at this stage that might be thought of as being punched drunk. But what have they done? I mean, we've learned how to do this in COVID, thank God. People have been extremely attentive to their customers. Government and taxpayers through the government have helped to keep businesses afloat so that at least we do have the jobs at the other side of any given crisis that can generate the taxes that are needed to pay for the running of the state. And that's what will happen again here. If this persists and we see a long-term sustained depreciation in the currency value of our major trading partner, businesses will need some support for that, not least food and beverage, but also others as well. We're not at that point. Let's see what unfolds over the next while and whether Britain, you know, makes new measures available that might just reverse the fall. But there's no doubt about it. It's a worrying time, and businesses will watch very carefully what happens on both islands.
And John, there's been much commentary in Britain. We were just talking about it all there with Justin Urquhart-Stewart, that the markets just don't trust Liz Truss. They aren't backing her ability to see the UK through these economic problems. What do you think?
Well, business doesn't do politics, of course, and the fates, pluses and minuses that come and go in political life are for politicians and for citizens and electors. What business might observe is that the markets are a pretty good predictor of whether a given strategy from politics is effective or not. And I think we can see in front of us that the markets are not exactly giving the current strategy a thumbs up.
Yeah, the markets basically think this strategy is going to fail.
That may or may not be an interpretation, but it's not a sign of confidence right now.
John, thank you very much. John McGrane there, Director General of the British Irish Chamber of Commerce. Now, coming up next, the Cork runner who beat AC Milan legend Kaká to the finish line in the Berlin Marathon. We'll meet him after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.